ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Canto 7, Chapter 8, Text 19 to 23, Translation and Commentary. Understood. Translation and Commentary by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of ISKCON. So I'll read texts 19 to 22, and then we'll chant together text number 23.
Mimāṁsamānasya samutthito grato nṛśiṁha-rūpastadalam bhayānakam pratapta-chāmi-kara-chandalochanam spurat-chata-keśara-jrimhitānanam karāla-daṁstraṁ-karavāla-chanchala kṣurānta-jīvam rukuti-mukhobanam stabdhordva-karanam girikandharābhuta Vyathasyana sam hanubheda bhishanam divisprishat kayam adirga pivara grivoru baksha talamalpa madhyamam chandranshu gaurais churitam tanurharair vishvag bhujani kashatam nakayudam durasadam sarva nijeta rayudha praveka vidravita daitya danavam Jai Sri Sri Radha Rasbihari Jai Lalita Jai Vishakha Jai Gaunitai Jai Sipaira Lakshmi.
Translation. Hiranyakashipu studied the form of the Lord, trying to decide who the form of Nrisimhadev standing before him was. The Lord's form was extremely fearsome because of his angry eyes, which resembled molten gold, his shining mane, which expanded the dimensions of his fearful face, his deadly teeth, and his razor-sharp tongue, which moved about like a dueling sword. His ears were erect and motionless, and his nostrils and gaping mouth appeared like caves of a mountain. His jaws parted fearfully, and his entire body touched the sky. His neck was very short and thick, his chest broad, his waist thin, and the hairs on his body as white as the rays of the moon. His arms, which resembled flanks of soldiers, spread in all directions as he killed the demons, rogues, and atheists with his consul, disc, club, lotus, and other natural weapons. Text 23.
Kaye name yam harino rumayina. Adhasmito nena samudyate nakim. Ivam rovangstvabhya patad gadayudho Nadam rishingham prati daitya kunjaraha.
Hiranyakashipu murmured to himself, Lord Vishnu, who possesses great mystic power, has made this plan to kill me, but what is the use of such an attempt? Who can fight with me? Thinking like this and taking up his club, Hiranyakashipu attacked the Lord like an elephant. Purport. In the jungle, there are sometimes fights between lions and elephants. Here the Lord appeared like a lion, and Hiranyakashipu, unafraid of the Lord, attacked him like an elephant. Generally, the elephant is defeated by the lion, and therefore the comparison in this verse is appropriate. Continuing the story of Nrisimhadev's appearance to kill the king of the demons, Hiranyakashipu. All of these stories in Srimad Bhagavatam, and of course they're not ordinary stories, they're stories of Krishna, his incarnations and his devotees. So all of them are full of transcendental meaning. As Srila Prabhupada has noted several times in his purports, one can study Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam again and again, and again and again, he can find new enlightenment and new meaning, or even the same point which he's had some realization about, again that realization becomes deeper and deeper. So here we see Krishna, in the form of Nrisimhadeva, has come to kill Hiranyakashipu and to protect his devotee, Prahlad Maharaj. Krishna has many names connected with his killing different demons, killing or suppressing, just like Kaliyadama, Madhusudan, Kaitavanashana, so many names like that. Near the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, we see that Arjuna addresses Krishna as Madhusudan, means he's the killer of the demon Madhu. So just like this demon Madhu, Hiranyakashipu was such a demon that no one else could kill him. No one else was going to kill him. Even Indra, who is the hope of the demigods, when there's a problem for the demigods from the demons, they run to Indra, who will protect them. That is the job of Indra, the king, to protect. But even Indra, he is so much afraid of Hiranyakashipu that even Hiranyakashipu is just flicking his eyelids, just glancing towards him. And Indra was so much afraid, he simply ran away. All the demigods had run away. So Krishna, when there is a problem for the demigods, then Krishna appears, as is stated in the beginning of Bhagavatam, that important verse. Krishna tu Bhagavan Swayam, Indra Vyapalanya Samvidyanti Vyayajay. Krishna appears again and again to take the path of the followers of Indra, the demigods. To kill a demon that no one else can kill. That is the leela of Krishna. It's a very easy thing for him. For anyone else it's very difficult, but for Krishna it's very easy. That's his sport, to kill some demons. Just like Prabhupada used to say that if someone wants to show themselves God, they should not just say, I am God, but they should do something just as God did when he came here to show that he is God, just like lifting the hill, Govardhan Hill. So many rascals, they call themselves God, but we would like to test them by placing one hill for them to hold. And if they don't hold it, then they'll be crushed by us, and then we'll know immediately, either they're God or not God. So Krishna, he holds up a big hill. And for him it's not a very difficult thing, because by an expansion of an expansion of an expansion, Anantashesh, he's holding the whole universe. Just like Chaitanya Charitamrita described, just like if you have on your hair, those of us who have hair, if you have in your hair one mustard seed, you won't feel that mustard seed. You won't even know it's there. Maybe if you comb your hair, it might catch, then you'll see it comes out. Otherwise you don't know it's there. So in the same way, Anantashesh is holding the universe on his head, and he's not even really aware it's there. That example is given. For Krishna, any great thing is nothing very great. What we think is something great, that is not very great. That's why we say God is great. People say God is great. What is the meaning of God is great? Maybe sometimes people think, well, I'm great. I'm great like this. So maybe God is great like this. Or maybe like this. But how great God is? He's so great that we can't even begin to imagine. He's unlimitedly greater than all of us put together. Just like Hiranyakashipu was thinking, I'm greater than everybody. I'm the greatest. That Muhammad Ali, the boxer, his slogan was, I'm the greatest. Actually, everybody in the material world thinks, I'm the greatest. But he used to say, I'm the greatest. Then later on, actually, he became a little bit sane. And he admitted, I'm not the greatest, Allah is the greatest. So, he became a little bit sane. That is sanity. So everyone is thinking, I'm the greatest, and if God is great, well maybe he's a little greater. He's sitting up on the altar there, and he's Radharani's blessings. So maybe he can give me something, a little bit greater. But maybe I'll also become God in future. Then I'll give people blessings. I'll become so great. People say this. Especially in India, we find people, I don't know in the West, but in India we find people, they directly say that, I'm God, I was coming on the train a few days ago, and someone next to me was sitting, reading something in Sanskrit, so I started speaking to him. So then he asked me to explain some verse he was reading. Om Purnamadaha Purnamidam Purna. So I explained according to Parampara, and Krishna is complete. So he said, no, that's the meaning is that I am Purna, I am complete. So then I asked him what he's doing. He's an accountant. So then, if you're an accountant, if you're Purna, if you're complete, then why do you have to go to work to get money to feed yourself and your family? So he thought a little bit and then he said, well, maybe I'm not God now, but I'll become God in the future. By doing some sadhana, I'll become God. So people think like this, because they don't know how God is great. What is the meaning? Simply the slogan is this. God is great. But Prabhupada used to, many times Prabhupada would say, that simply to say God is great is not enough. You have to know how God is great. Because then you may think that God is great and he's a little bit stronger than Muhammad Ali. Or God is beautiful. Well, Sri Devi is beautiful. Maybe Sri Devi is an Indian actress. So maybe God's a little bit more beautiful than her. Oh, God is wealthy. Well, the Tatas, they're also wealthy. Maybe he's a little bit more wealthy than her. But how great he is, that we have to learn from Shastra. That there's no comparison. His name is Asamurdhva. Mataparasaram nanyat kinchidasti. There is no one or nothing who is greater than God. No one, no person and no object, either animate or inanimate. There is nothing equal to or greater than God. And not even a slight competitor. Just like Hiranyakashipu, he was such a fool, he thought, I am a competitor to God. Let Vishnu come, I'll kill him. He's hiding from me now. Let him come, then I'll kill him. He was thinking, let me find that Vishnu. He's running away from me. Just like you'll find in the Mahabharata, on the Kurukshetra battlefield. Many times the fighters, they're all moving around fighting in different places, and one would be in front of another. Just like Arjuna might come in front of Karna. And Karna would say, oh, I'm very fortunate today because on the field of battle Arjuna is in front of me. Now my life's desire will be fulfilled, that at last I have the opportunity to kill him. So in the same way, Hiranyakashipu was always angry, he was always thinking that this Vishnu, he's causing so much disturbance, he killed my brother, and all I want to do is get that Vishnu and kill him. Then I can ultimately be happy, because I've conquered everybody else, now I have to conquer Vishnu. He was thinking like that. So Vishnu came in a form which he couldn't imagine. Hiranyakashipu thought that I'm the most powerful, I'm the greatest. There's no one in comparison to me. But the Lord came in such a form that he couldn't imagine. No one up to that time had imagined that the Supreme Lord can assume, or anyone can assume such a form. That's another mystery of the Supreme Lord, which we can learn from this story, that the Supreme Lord is not stereotyped. If he wants, he can come in the form of a half man, half lion. If he wants, he can come in the form of a hawk. Cannot say that God will not appear in such a form. He will. Keshava Drita Shukaro Jai Jagadisha. He appears in any form as he likes. So Hiranyakashipu, he thought that by his material prowess he would make himself God. And practically, to the vision of all other people, he was. He conquered over everybody. Everybody was afraid of him. By his own, what he thought was his own administration, he was overseeing, he was managing the affairs of the universe. But he didn't realize that even the power to administer the universe was coming from Lord Vishnu. He thought he was independently powerful. His son, Prahlad Maharaj, had already showed himself to be more powerful than Hiranyakashipu. Because Prahlad, he defied Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu was thinking, I'm the most powerful, everyone is afraid of me. But Prahlad totally frustrated him, because Prahlad didn't challenge him. He didn't compete with him. He didn't try to fight with him. He just ignored him, treated him as insignificant. Hiranyakashipu wanted to kill him in so many ways, He didn't care at all.
Jai Radha Rasmi.
Prahlad, he didn't care at all. He didn't get angry. He didn't start abusing his father. When his father called him, then he spoke to him very frankly and directly, that my dear king of the best of the demons, you're a fool, you should give up all this nonsense and go to the forest and worship Krishna. But he basically didn't care about it, he ignored. And his father was so upset that everybody gives me so much respect, they're so afraid of me, and here's this little boy, 5 years old, and he doesn't care at all for me. And if I try to punish him, he still doesn't care, and the punishment has no effect. So Hiranyakashipu realized that actually he was defeated. Not that Prahlad fought with him, but he defeated him by just simply ignoring him. So then he asked, where are you getting your power from? In this way he actually admitted his defeat to Prahlad. Where are you getting your power from? If someone asks someone else, how do you make your money? How do you attract girls? Or whatever his vibhuti is, whatever his power is. That means that he recognizes that person is superior. So Hiranyakashipu asked Prahlad, where are you getting your power from? Prahlad said, from the same place as you. Only I recognize it and you don't. So in this way, Hiranyakashipu, even though he was told by Prahlad that actually his power, he has not independently got it. His power is coming from Lord Vishnu. He didn't recognize that. He thought that he was self-powerful. He thought that by his austerities, he had forced Lord Brahma to give him the benediction, and by his austerities they'd become powerful. But he didn't realize, what is that Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita? Mayaya Bhitam Bhitam. Whatever benediction is given by the demigod is actually given by Krishna. All power is coming from Krishna. He's the source of everything. Aham saravasya prabhalo matasaram pravartate. So even Hiranyakashipu, even though he was so powerful, no one could imagine that anyone could be so powerful. Now in the modern age we have Hitler, Stalin, and then in Iraq there was that Hussein, Moses, some that guy in Iraq was very powerful.
Saddam.
There's so many powerful people, but they're nothing compared to Hiranyakashipu. Even if we think that Stalin was so nasty, he wasn't as nasty as Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu was king of the nasties, the nastiest person in history. He was thinking, I'm so powerful, but he didn't realize that his power was coming from Lord Vishnu. So Lord Vishnu comes for his own purpose, to protect his devotees, to show himself to his devotees, to prove to the atheists, just like Hiranyakashipu was so defiant, there's no God, we'll stop the sacrifices, we'll oppress the Brahmins, nobody can do anything to stop me. So Lord Vishnu could have killed him just by thinking. That is his power. It's just if he wants, he can kill him. But then someone may say that Hiranyakashipu was so powerful, he died of natural causes. Just unfortunately one day he slipped and fell and broke his head. He could have died by some natural, then people could have said that there's no God, nature is all powerful. Hiranyakashipu was unlucky, he was all powerful, but he was unlucky. So just to prove that actually that God is a fact, for those who don't believe, they see God in the form of death. Hiranyakashipu directly saw the Supreme Lord come in the form of death. To him, he appeared as death. To Prahlad Maharaj, he appeared, this is my worshipable Lord, this is Krishna. Come in the form of Nrisimhadeva. So the Lord came to show he is all-powerful. Even Hiranyakashipu, who may appear to be all-powerful, to those who don't know who is actually all-powerful, Hiranyakashipu was like a fly before Nrisimhadeva. Although here it's given the example, a lion and an elephant, they may fight. So the lion will be successful, not the elephant. But they appear that they're both very powerful, but the lion is short to live. So in the same way, it appears that Hiranyakashipu was very powerful, but Krishna was short to live. The Nrisimhadeva was sure to be successful. So there are so many different lessons can be taken from this story of Srimad Bhagavatam. It's not an ordinary story. It's not some story that somebody made up. This is the Leela of the Lord. So simply by describing that, Shrinu Sukhadam, Shubhadam, Bhavasara, and those who are living in this material world, by hearing the narrations of the Supreme Lord, they become benedicted with auspiciousness. Auspiciousness means that their consciousness becomes purified. That is auspicious. That means how they can become fortunate. Shubhadam, Sukhadam, and devotees become very happy by hearing the narrations of the Supreme Lord. Uttama Shloka Charitam Sarva Lokas Bhavaham. This purpose of Bhagavatam is described in the 8th canto, that by hearing about the Lord, Uttama Shloka, then everybody can become happy in Krishna consciousness. So there's so many reasons the Lord appears. One reason is simply to give happiness to his devotees. So those devotees who are oppressed in this material world, we can always remember the example of Prahlad Maharaj, who was also oppressed. More than any of us are likely to be oppressed. We can always remember how Hiranyakashipu was oppressing Prahlad, but ultimately Nrisimhadev came to save him. There's so many narrations, and as we read again and again and again in Srimad Bhagavatam, we read again and again and again throughout our lives, it's always tasty, always relishable. So more and more and more we read again and again and again and again and again we hear the pastimes of the Lord, we hear the instructions of Srila Prabhupada, and more the realization becomes deeper, increases, and more we appreciate Krishna, how he's coming in different forms to protect his devotees, to nourish his devotees, to enliven his devotees. So these are some of the points. There's so many different teachings we can take from the Srimad Bhagavatam. But even if we don't examine in a very philosophical way or deep way, we can simply be happy by hearing the leelas of the Lord and appreciating how wonderful is Lord Krishna, who has taken this adbhut, this wonderful form, adbhuta shringa, this tavakara kamalavare nakam adbhuta shringa. Prabhupada was describing in one lecture this very surprising, how the Lord's hand is soft, like a lotus. Tavakara kamala, your hand is soft like a lotus flower, but still you have adbhuta. It's very surprising how in that soft lotus flower hand, you have nails which are very sharp to rip apart the Hiranyakashipu. So Prabhupada is describing this. So many different things to be understood about Krishna. So again and again, we come every morning, hear Srimad Bhagavatam, again and again, churning the nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam. Hare Krishna. Any question? What is the meaning of Krishna being greater than the great? What is that exactly? There is one shloka that in the Upanishads Prabhupada used to Brihan, what is that? Brihan, Brihanabhat, he is greater than the greatest. That shloka I quoted from Gita, Matapara Taranam Yat Kinchid Asti Dhananjaya. Krishna says, I am. Nothing is comparable to me. So what is the meaning of that? The meaning is exactly that. There's exactly what it means. That means that there is no one or no thing in the universe, beyond the universe, who is equal to or greater than Krishna. That is exactly what it means. That can be analyzed. You can analyze every living being, you can analyze every object, and you can find none is equal to or greater than Krishna. Because he is the source of everything and the controller of everything. Yes, when we say God, we mean Krishna. It is correct that Krishna is the greatest. I don't know exactly what you're saying. Is there any other question? Someone else? Let me ask Raman the other questions. Raman, please. Raman. Param. In the Vedic literature it said that the topmost worship is that of Lord Vishnu. So why was Hiranyakashipu not knowing that? Even though Hiranyakashipu was a great Vedic scholar. Well, actually, that's described by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Naham prakasha sarvasya yoga manasa namrita. Mudho yangna vicharasi loko mamajana vyaya. Those who are mudhas and rascals, they cannot see me. That's described, Prabhupada quotes in Bhagavad Gita purport. From Yamuna Acharya, from Stotra Ratna, which the Sanskrit, if I can remember, from Srila Rupa Charitai Paramaprakrishtai Sadvena Sapritapriyapa Kalaicha Shastrai, describes, Yamuna Acharya describes, this Prabhupada quotes this in the verse, Namang Dushkritino Murha, that who doesn't surrender to Krishna. So, Yamuna Acharya says that Krishna is obviously everything about him, his character, his activities, his forms, everything about him is wonderful, unsurpassed, incomparable. And this is confirmed in all these shastras, especially the shastras in the mode of goodness. Then, chasastra, prakata, then what is the next line? Naivasara prakataya prabhavanti bodham. Third line I'm missing. It says that even though it's completely obvious that Krishna is God, but those who are asuras, those who are demons, they can't understand it. Even though they try, by their thinking process, they cannot understand it. Because he's covered, Krishna covers. He's not, just like some people say, if there is God, show me God, as if God is some peon that you call, come here, like a dog, you call it, now dance. No, he shows himself to those who want, and for those who he doesn't, he remains covered. Nato na yadharo yata, Kunti Devi says. Just like an actor on the stage is seen by everybody, but they don't recognize who he is. So in the same way, everyone is seeing Krishna, but they don't recognize who he is. Just like people say, show me God. We can show, yes, here is God. But you cannot recognize because you're a demon. Therefore, Shastra Chakshusha, you have to see through the Shastra. If you see, you think this is simply stone. But if you see through Shastra, by hearing, that is said in Bhagavatam, Shrute Kshana, your eyes you have to see by hearing. So by hearing from bona fide authorities, the Shastra, then by hearing you can understand. Just like in anything, if someone says, I don't believe in the existence of subatomic particles, show me. So, we can show you, we can show the experiment. But you won't see the subatomic particles, but you'll see in a vacuum, some gases are passed or something like that. And anyway, who is a scientist, who is a trained scientist, he can see, yes, this is the proof of subatomic particles, and he'll give so many mathematical descriptions. So those who are trained scientists, they will say, yes, we have seen this experiment, this is the proof. The one who's not a trained scientist, he'll see the same experiment and he'll say, I didn't see anything. So you may see, but unless you're trained to understand what you're seeing by taking knowledge from authorities, then you won't understand. Therefore, vimudha nanu pashyanti, pashyanti jnana chakshusha. Those who are big fools, they can't understand anything. But those who are trained in knowledge, they can see. Any other question? Mahavishnu Maharaj.
In the same story, there is a difference. There is a difference to be given. Unless Krishna desires the devil, he cannot see.
Yes, unless Krishna desires, unless he shows himself, you cannot see. Yes, Maharaj. What is the meaning of smaller than the smallest? It's exactly whatever you think is the smallest thing, Krishna is smaller than that. And if we can't understand it, well, how can we understand? This Krishna is atintya. We may not understand our brain how Krishna is smallest than the smallest, but he is. Smallest is Krishna. Smallest means paramanu. The word for the smallest thing is paramanu. Anu means small, and paramanu means the smallest. So smaller than the smallest is Krishna, who enters within every atom. Andantarascha, what is that? Andantaras, paramanu chayantarascha. Krishna enters within the smallest, so therefore he's smaller than the smallest. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhagavatam ki jai.